Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's right, we are riding with the King. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Howard Eskin with us. Always brought to you by Xfinity, Philadelphia's fastest internet and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. Howard, how are we doing tonight?
Just sensational. Another one of those great days where I'm keeping the streak going of not having a bad day.
Well, it's a long streak now, so that's great that it continues here. And today was a beautiful day, Howard. So it's hard to have a bad day on a day as nice as today.
Yeah, I actually walked close to 16 miles yesterday, and by the end of the day, and after a show, I'll get something to have dinner, and then I'll walk again. I'll do probably another 15 miles today.
Wow, that's another big day. So are you ramping up now because we're getting towards spring? Do you do more in
the spring and summer?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not as difficult to walk in the rain and right. The snow and the cold. So I'm rocking and rolling, just trying to stay, you know. Hey, listen. To keep the sexy body that I have, I got to keep it rolling.
Let's make sure we cut that audio and we play that again one day. All right, Howard, well, the longer you walk, the more time you'll have to pull out a calculator on your phone and figure out how much cap room the Eagles now are under or have, because it seems like every 5 minutes, Howie Roseman is crunching something to move a different contract around. Today it was Javon Hargrave. Howard, what's your guess on this? Because there's two ways this could go. The first way is that they just do the bare minimum, and they do what they have to do, and by Wednesday at 4 o'clock, they're under the cap. As long as they're under, they're good. Or do you think they're going to go further so they carve out some cap room here so they can actually get some players next week?
Well, obviously, I think they'll try to go under just in case somebody pops up, whether it's a trade, whether it's a player that gets cut by next Wednesday that you want to sign to probably a one-year deal or maybe multi-year, depending on how good that player is. But I think they'll try to get a little bit under. But I'm just trying to figure out this year. I think you just got to get through this year. I mean, I don't have high expectations. I know the players want to play and win as many games as they can. I get all that. But, how can you have high expectations when you see that there's so many needs on the team? But I think they'll try to go a little bit under, and it won't be all restructures. Obviously, there'll be some cuts. I'm sure they're still trying to make trades. There'll be players move, but I'm okay with what they're doing because it's pay me now or pay me later. So if you cut somebody and you don't restructure, then you're still hit with cap, whether it's dead money or whatever, you're still hit with cap ramifications, where if you extend it, the cap's probably going to go up. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes up $30 million a team next year. So you're going to have room to play around with all the players you extend. But I would think that they would go under.
Yeah, and I would hope they do, just so they can add some players next week. I mean, even if they're not super aggressive, and we know they're not going to get the top players in the market. I mean, there's a lot of free agents out there, and they have holes. Like, the draft is wonderful, and the draft is great. But it reminds me, Howard, back when Chip left, and it was Doug's first year, 2015 into 2016, they signed a couple guys right away. It was Roddy McLeod and Brandon Brooks. And at that time, neither of those guys were talked about as top free agents. They were more like the middle of the class of free agency. Obviously, Brandon Brooks became a great player. McLeod was a good one. Like, that's what I'm hoping for this time, where they get a couple guys that are in their mid-20s so that they can grow with the next team, but they're also good players. I mean, like, they can't just go through the draft. They also need to add some legitimate players because they have so many holes that, the draft is a crapshoot. We know that, and they haven't been great at drafting. So I hope they add some veterans here to give them some good players that maybe could be here for a while.
When you say veterans, you don't want players in their 20s are fine.
Yeah, like I'm thinking 25, 26, 27 at the oldest.
Yeah, right. You don't want to start adding older players for 1 year to maintain what is an old team or what became an old team. They got to get younger, and that's done primarily through the draft. I mean, there'll be some good players out there because everybody has casualties, but there might be some teams. There's probably about, I think, maybe six teams that have a good amount of money under the cap if it's a player that's really good. So it's like some of the wide receivers out there. You'd say, well, you know, they could probably add somebody there, but I think at least one of their picks is going to be a wide receiver, and it may be the first one if Pitts isn't there. It's most likely going to be a wide receiver. I would be shocked. I really would be shocked if they don't take a wide receiver with their first pick.
If Pitts isn't there, and you can almost look at Pitts as a wide receiver too. I mean, he's a tight end slash wide receiver. Howard, I got to throw this at you because there was a story yesterday, and if anyone would know or have a feeling of if there's something to this, it'd be
you. Was it on Twitter?
It eventually got its way to Twitter, but Twitter wasn't around when this story actually emerged. So,
I think I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, there was a rumor that in the late 90s that Eagles players were talking about the idea of Jeff Lurie and the team making moves based on what they heard and what the feeling was on WIP. Howard, do you think there's any chance that is true? And we could expand the conversation further to do these teams really listen to us. But have you ever heard anything like that?
No, it's the first I've heard of it. Now, do I know that at times people listen to WIP from the teams and they're usually angry. They're usually not happy.
Well, of course.
They're usually angry. But to have the fans make because of their anger or the host because of their opinions. Who was it? Brandon Brooks? Not Brandon Brooks.
Barrett Brooks. He said it on Philly Voice.
Barrett's a good guy, but come on, man. Don't be an idiot. It's just the only player I remember back then, and I think Jeffrey Lurie probably admitted to it, because Chris Bonio, who's actually a really good guy, and he's a coach now with the Cowboys.
Kicker,
he was a kicker for the Cowboys. Actually, I saw Chris at one of the games, came up and said hello. I didn't even know he remembered me. But Jeffrey Lurie wanted Chris Bonio because he played with the Cowboys. And at one point, he was probably a real good kicker. And that didn't work out for the Eagles. It was a disaster. It was close to a disaster, the way he kicked with the Eagles. That's the only one that I heard of where Jeffrey Lurie got involved. Now, as far as making a decision because of what was said, John Middleton suggested that poll.
The Todd Zielecki poll about Machado and Harper.
Yeah, well, first of all, Machado would have probably been better, but it's water over the dam, so it's just nothing you can do about it now. But he wanted, I know for a fact he wanted, he actually wanted Machado because he thought he was a little cheaper.
And he was. He wasn't per year, but in total dollars, I think he was $300 and Bryce was $330.
And the other thing he wanted is he wanted to improve the infield defense. The Phillies wanted, and Machado would have done that at third base because at the time they needed a third baseman.
Yeah.
So, but when he didn't get him, I know that the pressure of people and the pressure of fans and Bryce Harper probably swayed him a little bit. I don't think I've never heard. Your question was, did I ever hear that? No, I've heard them be angry at WIP and multiple teams. I've heard them be angry at me multiple times, but I don't think they make decisions. I never heard that they made a decision based on what was said on WIP. Do they hear it? Sure. Do they make decisions? No. I think Barrett, what was one of the things he said? Some guy was cut, I don't know, and it wasn't the coach that the coach didn't know.
Yeah, Ray Rhodes didn't know about it. Yeah.
Well, you know, I find that a little hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, look, and the story is, you know, obviously over two decades old now, which who knows?
But
who knows?
Well, how come we didn't hear about it before?
I don't know. But Howard, here's my thought on it. And you said what, you know, what we know about the Phillies and your story about the Eagles thing. I just hope these teams don't make decisions based on us, because although this is a great station and 24 hours a day fans can call in and talk about what they want and it's the pulse of the fans, like Howard, their job should be to do what they think is best to win games, because ultimately that's all we really care about. If they're winning, this city's going to be excited about whatever team it is, especially the Eagles. Like, if they're winning, everyone's excited. It doesn't matter if they listen to what, you know, Bob down the street says to do it at linebacker. Like, that, it doesn't really matter what we think. As long as they win, that should be the whole point.
Yeah, well, or Sam or Harry or Joe, too. Or Paulie. You know, you can't forget Paulie in this.
Well,
whole
actually, if Paulie makes a suggestion on the first-round pick, I'm listening.
But here's the if they listen to the fans, the one that I think for myself that sticks out the most are these morons, dopes, and nitwits that wanted Ricky Williams over, was it Donovan McNabb? I think that was the
yes,
year that McNabb
was.
Came.
Yes.
Okay,
99.
Right. Okay, they wanted Ricky Williams, who, by the way, wasn't even the best running back in the draft. It was Edgerrin James.
Yeah, who actually went ahead of him. I think he went, I think Edge went four and Ricky five.
Because Ricky Williams was a fumbler. His hands were small. There was obviously his, you know, mental issues. You know, he wasn't just kind of a little off balance at sometimes, let's say. And even the mayor of Philadelphia at the time, Ed Rendell, jumps in. And Ed's a great fan, but he's clueless when it comes to understanding personnel. And he's a great guy, and he's a big sports fan. But come on, it was a joke. Even he climbed on. Ricky Williams. And those morons that gathered together at the draft, the Dirty 20 or whatever the
30,
hell
I think it was the Dirty 30.
Whatever. I mean, it's been so long ago. Who cares about those guys? But they started screaming and yelling. But that was the biggest, and that was weeks of Ricky Williams. And they weren't swayed by that because they knew, and Andy Reid was here too, they knew that, and he was taken second. They liked him over Tim Couch, who I thought was a stiff, and he turned out to be a stiff.
Yeah, I think it went Tim Couch, Donovan, Achilles Smith.
Achilles Smith was
the Bengals quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, and he was 24 years old, so he was later in his career when he was drafted. I believe he was 24 years old. They didn't like him either. Donovan was the best quarterback in that draft, and these morons in town here wanted, not all of them, a lot of them wanted Ricky Williams, and it was a joke. So that was the biggest pressure that came out of the city, and the Eagles didn't flinch a little bit. Now, were there other cases where they said, you know, the fans like, but they, I have, other than Bryce Harper and the pressure, I think it was pressure that John Middleton felt about doing something to create a splash. That was the closest that I think it came. And it was the last man standing. It's not like they didn't have interest in him in the first place. So, but he was the last man standing. And just, but he wasn't going to go to a certain number. I know for a fact he wasn't going to go to a certain number. That's why they satisfied both parties. They satisfied Scott Boras to get the highest contract in the history of baseball for 5 minutes.
It's been beaten now two or three times already?
I think Mike Trout, 10 minutes later, signed another contract.
Trout beat him, Betts beat him, and now Tatis Jr. just beat him too.
Yeah, but it helped the Phillies out because they don't care. Teams don't care about the money at the end, but they care about the amount per year. And that's the way they figured it out, and that's the way John Middleton figured it out. But the fans really didn't have that say. They knew what they felt, and the Phillies felt pressure to make a splash. So, and I think that was part of it. But I've never heard what Barrett Brooks said. Never. That they made a decision based on the fans.
Well, good, because if they did, these teams
we'd all be in trouble.
Well, the teams would be in big trouble because we're crazy and we change our mind every 5 minutes.
Like, I know.
I know we are a very passionate city, and tons of great fans here, and some have great opinions. But if you're listening to everything that's said around here, well, guess what's going to happen? You're going to draft Ricky Williams, and you're going to make mistakes. I mean, that's just – when I heard that story yesterday, I just shook my head, and I was like, man, I hope that's not what's gone on. And my guess is, Howard, the Eagles have won too much to be listening. I know last year was bad, but they've won a lot over the last 25 years that if they were really listening, they probably wouldn't have won as much.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the fans to have the passion and have an opinion is great, but they don't dictate. They may think they dictate. you know, and I know there's certain shows that, well, if we come after them for this, you know, they're going to have to take. No, that's not what they do. You can, you know, jump up and down and scream and yell and cause them angst and all that, but they're not making a decision based on what's said on the air. They hear it. They listen. In probably most cases, as I said, they're angry. And it's not just the Eagles. It's multiple teams. So I'm trying to think of the Flyers. If I ever heard the Flyers, Bobby Clark was mad at me one time. That's another guy. But Bobby and I became friends.
Well, I'm sure Ed Snyder listened. I mean, this was a passion of his.
Yeah, I mean, Ed Snyder, I used to, every once in a while, I would make fun of hockey. I said one day, I said you should put a clown's mouth in the goal and get 2 points if you put it through the clown's mouth.
What did he say? He couldn't have been happy.
He saw me after the game. You don't want to know all the language. Saw me after the game. We used to wait outside the locker room, and he used to walk in before the media walked in. And he said, you know, I heard you on the air this afternoon, and I don't listen to you, but it was on in the, I love the one they say, I don't listen to you, but it was on in the car that I was driving in. And I don't like you making fun of our sport. He said, I'm just having a little fun. Just relax. And then he used some real language, and I'll tell you the story privately. You won't believe it. It's just, he was really, really angry. But, you know, but other than that, Bobby Clark, I didn't think they should have signed, this goes way back, John Van Beesbrook. There was another goaltender out there that year, and he signed John Van Beesbrook because it was a little cheaper. And Van Beesbrook at one time was a really good goaltender. And Bobby Clark was all over me. So, but it's okay. It was just an opinion. It wasn't, I guess everybody, you know, now that you come down to it, I guess everybody's been angry at me at one time.
Well, that's kind of how it works.
And they've been angry at WIP. I'm not alone in this little dust up, I'll call it, these little
dust
ups.
And that's part of the whole gig, and that's fine. Like, they could be angry, but the bottom line is, They can appreciate the conversation, and they can understand that their customers are part of this, right? Their customers are listening to us, and their customers are talking to us when they call in. But if I ever find out that the Eagles are making decisions based on, you know, what Bob and Lower Pottsgrove thinks, or the Phillies, like, we got big problems around here, Howard.
Bob and Lower Pottsgrove.
Then we're in big trouble. Like, these teams cannot be making – and also, really, I mean, think about it, Howard. We're short-sighted as fans. Like, we get excited. We get upset. We like a player one day. The next day, we don't like
impulsive.
Him anymore. Yeah, and very impulsive. And GMs and owners, they shouldn't be as impulsive as we are.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, some of the players that they wanted that became total stiffs. Ugh. Just to think if the Phillies had made that trade or made that selection, made that signing, it would have been a disaster. But yeah, they hear us. They're probably not listening to WIP now because there's probably not a lot of good things coming out the way the Eagles look at it. They're probably not listening to us. See, the other teams get kind of an immunity because we're so Eagles conscious with everything they do. It's like I remember the Sixers were angry. One year they started off 10-0. It was a team with Allen Iverson. And the Eagles were good. And all they were doing was talk about the Eagles, and the Sixers were pissed. Because, you know, they don't even talk about us. We started off the season 10-0. But that's just the way it is, you know, because you're going to get sheltered with those things. You know, all those years they decided to lose, besides the morons that accepted it, there was people that didn't even pay attention because they knew that was what was going to happen. So now it's just the Eagles are the ones that take probably full force of all these more of all these things.
Yeah, when they're struggling like they did this year, they get it in a wave that nobody else gets. That's
you
for
know,
sure.
That's why your boy Gabe Kapler was good, because we had something to rail on other than football.
See, I tried to tell everyone he was good for the city, and no one wanted to hear it. Like I told you. I tried to tell everyone. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls, Howard. We'll talk a little bit about the Sixers who start up tonight. They're underdogs without Joel and Ben in Chicago. So we'll talk some Sixers second half and who they could acquire in a trade. You know, I know we both want Lowry. So we'll talk about that. And I got to see your reaction on this, Howard. Minor League Baseball is trying out some new rule changes that I think are designed to see how they work out. And if they work, They might be coming in the Major League Baseball soon. I think you'll be interested in this. We'll talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 624 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. We're riding with the King here. Howard Eskin with us, as always, brought to you by Xfinity, Philadelphia's fastest internet, and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. Howard, how are
Joe, can I, before you start,
yes.
Can I just add one thing?
Sure.
I want to out who I think is a fraud.
Oh, why, you got a fraud for us?
I got a fraud
for
you.
Let's hear it.
You're going to love the name. Mike Krzyzewski.
Mike Krzyzewski, a fraud, why?
Okay. I was told by, I'll just say a coach in college basketball a couple of weeks ago, and he told me, he says, I expect Mike Krzyzewski to opt out of the NCAA tournament. I says, what do you mean? He said, not a good team. He won't win. He's just not going to want to be a part of it. And I expect him to opt out. Well, you saw today, the only way that he had a chance to get it in is beat Florida State today. He wasn't going to beat Florida State, but they said that they have a COVID issue, and that's why they're not playing the game. But he opted out, from what I understand, he opted out of the tournament. Now, I don't know that he was going to be selected, but he doesn't play the game today, so he finishes with a 500 record, I believe. I believe he ended up at 500. He knew he'd be nothing better than, what, a 14th seed? You know, they're not a horrible team. They're just a terrible team this year. And he didn't want to be a part of it. And he didn't even want to – I mean, really, if you get selected, at least you continue the run. But to be the seed that he would have been, the fact that I'm calling him a fraud because this coach said, you watch, he will opt out.
So the theory basically is that instead of being on the bubble or maybe not even making the tournament altogether, he opts out so he avoids the embarrassment of not making it or being a 13th.
That's correct. Yeah, he said we had COVID issues, so I opted out.
Yeah, when I saw that today, I mean, obviously, if they have COVID issues right now, they couldn't play these games in the ACC.
They could. Well, they only had the one game. If they lost today, they would only had the one game.
But like you're saying, if let's say they have a COVID case, I'm sure they do. But you know, a week from now, conceivably, they would be eligible to play if the other players didn't test positive and they were healthy.
Correct.
But they're out. They're basically taking themselves out of this tournament.
Correct. That's exactly what he did.
After all these years, he's that insecure.
Because he'll say, well, you can't say that I didn't make it that year after so many consecutive years because I opted out.
This one doesn't count, Howard, that's all.
Yeah.
Well, right. the Eagles should use that rationale, right? Like they won the division, they made the playoffs three years in a row. This one doesn't count. This was a year.
Yeah, the Ben Simmons people know that because he didn't play in the All-Star game, he's only a two-time All-Star.
Well, you said that the other day. I'm not sure if every Ben Simmons fan agrees with that, but we can make up the rules as we go along. Yeah, I didn't think of that, but that is I hope that's not
the
true.
The fact that I was told that a couple of weeks
that's
ago.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, and then I didn't forget it, and I'm saying, I'll be a son of a gun. He did.
These college, I've always thought that there's no bigger egos than college sports coaches. And look, there's some of them are good guys, but most of them, their egos are just incredibly big.
Well, allegedly, Okafor took money at Duke, and then Zion Williamson, you know, it was clear that he got paid while he was there because he sued, or the agency sued him that he signed up with while he was a college player. You know, you're going to tell me that Krzyzewski didn't know about these things? You know, it's just, hey, listen, it goes on. He's not the only one, but it goes on. But he's like pure as the driven snow. It's just, no way that would happen at Duke. And I know, allegedly, I always got to say allegedly, that Okafor, whatever. We'll just leave it at that.
Well, he turned into be a stiff in the NBA. So on top of all
stiff.
That.
Yeah. But that's another story.
Yes, it is. All right. Well,
so I just wanted to get
that. A fraud there from Howard. All right, 215-592-9494. The Sixers aren't frauds, Howard, but they are back tonight in Chicago. Mm-hmm. No Joel Embiid, no Ben Simmons. Let me throw this at you. So we have a half of the season to go. They sit in first place, Eastern Conference, number one seed. What is your expectation, Howard? I know you've said before you don't think they're going to win the title. You don't think they're that good. But what is your expectation for the rest of this season? Do you think they're going to go make a real run in the playoffs, or are we going to do this same dance again where they're out in the first or the second round? Are they going to make a run?
Well, it's hard to say. They should make a run, but I don't think – I just can't see them getting to the conference final because there's too many games that are jammed in. The reason all these games are jammed together is because they're trying to get it done by the Olympics. That's another – you know, so there's a lot of back-to-backs. Who knows how many games Joel Embiid's going to play? That factors into it. If they're not the first seed and they're not the best team, we know that the Brooklyn Nets are the best team. So the Sixers actually got a break because Embiid got rest. You know, if he played in the All-Star game, you know, they would have had some days off, so it wouldn't have been bad. But it just seems to me that nothing for Joel Embiid is ever good after he plays in an All-Star game. So he got some time off, and he will get some rest, but there's a lot of back-to-backs, and I just can't – if they're not the first seed – and here's the other thing you got to understand. Will Boston make a big move? So will the Celtics make it – I just can't believe the Celtics are this bad. They should not be this bad. So and who is going to jump up in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference? Doesn't appear like there's many good teams.
No, it's really about three right now, and Boston's had a really weird year.
Yeah, but will Miami jump up and be better and be what they were last year? They've got it. They might have. Trying to think of the coaches. I think Eric Spoelstra is probably the best coach in the conference.
He's a very good coach. Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, terrific, terrific coach. But he's got the backing. The general manager always has his back, so he can do the things he needs to do with the players. So I don't know who's going to jump up, but you got to worry about the Sixers because of so many games that they have back-to-backs, three games in four nights, and how is Joel Embiid going to hold up under that, because it's obvious they don't get enough points from other people on the floor. They just don't get enough points. I mean, I think that's why he's got to score all those points.
Well, I mean, think about it. They're playing the Bulls tonight, so it's no Embiid, no Simmons. And the last time they played Chicago, the game was here. It was a Friday night, maybe 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. He had to score 50 for them to win that game, and Chicago's not even a good team. I mean, they really – I mean, once in a while, Tobias will have a good game, and he had the 11 points or whatever it was against the Jazz in overtime. You know, he'll do that from time to time, but they – that's what they're missing. That's why we've talked about Kyle Lowry. Like they are missing another guy that can take the heat off of Joel. And unless that guy arrives, it is hard to think they could get all the way to the finals. Yet they're good, Howard. I mean, there's a reason why they have the top record in the conference. They're a good team. That they just Morey needs to go out and do something to help them out.
Well, he's got to grow. Yeah, he's got to have some guts, and he's got to do something. You know, we all thought when they got Curry and they got Green and Curry perimeter shooting that they were a better team from the perimeter. They're really not. They're not really a better team than they've been in some of the past years with their perimeter shooting. And that's a problem. That's what the game is. It's perimeter shooting. And you can't have your 7'2" center being the guy that takes the 3-point shots. It's got to be other people. And I'm not counting on Tobias Harris. He's done a nice job this year. He wasn't an all-star, but he's done a nice job. But you can't count on him because he's too inconsistent and erratic. And then you got to hope, first of all, they're playing in a – the teams in the conference, we just ran down how bad the teams are in the conference. So their record really is indicative of the teams in the conference. And they're better than a lot of the other teams except the Nets. I can't think of another team that would be better than them right now. But that's why they have, I think, the record that they have. If they played in the West, they'd probably be no better than the fifth best team. That's what's incredible. The West, we thought the West was going to have a down year, and here come the Suns. Denver's doesn't have a great record. They're still, what, 3 or 4 games over 500. They're a good team playing in a really tough conference. Sixers haven't played Milwaukee yet, so they play them 3 times in the second half of the season. I don't know that Milwaukee's good enough, but I know they're a good team, but they haven't played them yet. So, which is amazing, how they never scheduled them at least one game.
Well, it's been a bizarre schedule this year. Yeah. It's been very strange.
So, yeah. So, I mean, are they good? Yes. Are they as good as their record? Well, in the Eastern Conference, they are. In the NBA, they're not. But if they get to the finals, nobody will care. But I just think the Nets. The Nets are really good, but I expect the Celtics in Miami to all of a sudden pop their heads up and do something. But Daryl Morey, I think he's a really sharp and bright guy, but he's never won anything. You know, I know he's a don't get me wrong here, but I'm just pointing out a fact. He's never won anything.
Yeah, he's won a lot, but he's never won anything significant. Like, he always has good
teams,
and they're always in the playoffs, and he has had some trips to the Western Conference Finals. But, you know, we have never watched an NBA Finals with his team in it. Not once.
Well, if he could have made that trade for James Harden with Ben Simmons, and I don't care if you give the next 10 years, which you're not allowed, the next 10 years, I don't think you're allowed.
No, they cut that off. Otherwise, GMs like Howard Eskin would be giving up every pick they have under the sun.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you're a good team, it won't make any difference anyway. You're going for the gusto. You're going for the gusto, and if you got a good organization, you'll be able to sign either undrafted players or second-round picks. You know, once you get past the top 10 or 12, it's your scouting that gets you really good players. And we see some good players that have been drafted behind, Giannis, Draymond Green.
Sure.
There's players that are drafted beyond the first 12 picks.
Manu Ginobili back in the day.
Yeah, why am I forget the guard for years for Utah?
Stockton.
Stockton, 16. John Stockton, I think, was the 16th pick in the draft back when the players were good. I wouldn't worry. First-round picks in today's game, if you have a chance, because with Embiid, I still say 3 years, and then you got to really worry about injuries.
Which is why I'm all in on – I know he might stay now, and I'm not sure what the Raptors are doing. I'm not sure if he wants to leave. But they got to be on the phone with Toronto, because of all the players that are available – and obviously there was only one Harden, and that happened already. But of all the guys that seemingly are available right now, Howard, Lowry's the only one I could see making a difference here. If they get Kyle Lowry, I think they have a chance to beat the Nets. I think he gives them – another,
they got a chance.
Yeah, they got another guy. I mean, he could score 19. I mean, any given night, he could go over 20. He's an all-star player. And if you put him there with Joel and with Ben and with Tobias, you've got a chance.
Yeah, and he's a good perimeter shooter, which he would be the best perimeter shooter they have. What perimeter shooters do they have that are really good?
Well, you know, like Furkan? Well, he's a bench
player. Every third game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, every third game. The playoffs aren't every third game. Is he okay? Yeah, he's okay. But you need somebody. And that trade, I heard it this afternoon, The Athletic, it was a joke. Well, Toronto wouldn't make that deal for Thybulle and a first-round pick. Give me a break.
If they can get Kyle Lowry for Thybulle and a first-round pick, I will drive Matisse to Toronto.
Thybulle, you know what? You can shake a tree and 20 of the Thybulles will fall out. He's not an offensive player. He plays good defense, but that's not what the league is. You know, unfortunately, the game has changed. It's just a bunch of scores. So the league's not about defense. When you get down to the last 2 minutes, but he's probably not going to be in there in the last 2 minutes anyway. So what the hell's the difference? Daryl Morey, I think he's watching the Delaware?
The Blue Coats. They're going for a championship.
Okay, so you know what? If he's listening and he's on his way back, and I don't know who listens to the station, and he's certainly not going to pay attention to me.
No, we talked earlier that sometimes these teams listen, Howard.
Yeah, right.
Now, we're changing our mind. This time they need to listen to what we say.
Grow a pair, will you? And do something. All right? Do something. Because this team has no chance this year unless you do something. All right?
And do something big, right? They could go out and get a guy off the buyout market. Like, go find another Bellinelli or Ilyasova. Yeah. That's not going to change. If you're going to beat the Nets, you need something significant. They need a Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, have some guts. Come on, man. Step it up. Step it up. You came here as the Messiah. I mean, then be the Messiah. Come on.
Well, we'll see. My gut is he's going to try, but I don't know if he's going to do anything.
Well, sure, he'll try. But,
yeah. I don't know if we're getting anything big between now and 2 weeks from now.
You know what drives me crazy? How many points per game does Assets score?
Assets, last time I checked, let me look at the stat sheet. I think Assets are 0.0.
Okay. We got this asset. We got that asset.
Well, I mean, it is important.
The guy doesn't score a point.
No, I get it, but it is important to keep your assets.
Stop.
Well, it is. It's just,
if you have a good scouting department, I'll never forget, the Phillies won a World Series in 1980. And they won. They haven't won many World Series, but they won one in 1980, which was, for my lifetime, that was the first one, obviously. It was the first one for a lot of people. Because Dallas Green said, you know what, sometimes you got to give up good players to get a player. And if you're good at scouting, you're good at the player development, you will get more players. So you got to have confidence in your ability to not only draft and not only sign, but to develop those players.
Well, that's why Dallas was a champion.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Dallas Green was a character,
may
too.
May he rest in peace. What a great, great, great baseball. Great, great baseball. We don't have those anymore. We got computer analysts.
No, we've had some good baseball people around here. Gabe Kapler, and we've had plenty of them. Baseball guys, Howard.
Yeah, he was a computer analyst.
No, he was a player for the Red Sox.
XFIP, WYXFIP.
WOBA. I mean, come on, you know, weighted on base average. Come on, you got to know these things, Howard. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls. And I got to throw, speaking of baseball, we'll see what the baseball guy and Howard likes these. So the minor league baseball today announced they're going to try 4 different rule changes for this year, Howard. And the idea on this, and we'll talk about when we get back, is to experiment this season. And if they like it, these could come to Major League Baseball as soon as next year. So we'll talk about that coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 646 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Howard Eskin with us. We're riding with the King, as always, brought to you by Xfinity Philadelphia's fastest internet and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. 215-592-9494 to hop in. All right, Howard, let me throw these at you. So, minor league baseball, now they're going to start their season about a month later than the...
That's what I understand.
Yeah, so they're behind. But when they get going, Jason Stark wrote this today, there's going to be 4 new rule changes, and they're pretty big changes, that they're going to implement this year across minor league baseball with the idea of to see how these go, and if they like them, and we know there's the CBA is up after the season in baseball, that these could be part of the future of baseball. You ready for these?
Yep.
All right, Howard, the first one. The rule is no infielders in the outfield. This is basically about the shift, and the way this rule reads is infielders have to have 2 feet on the dirt when the pitch is thrown. So the shift, basically, where you have the second baseman in the middle of right field, that would not be allowed anymore. You'd have to be in the dirt as an infielder. Your thoughts?
I think it sucks. Listen, the hitters are the ones that should adjust.
It's the hard, though. Yeah, and people, you say that, but it's not easy to adjust on these pitchers throwing 97. I mean, it's not easy.
But the hitters are better, too. They're supposed to be better. I don't care. You know, they should be able to play where they want. If they want to put everybody in the outfield, put everybody in the outfield. I don't even care. And the next you're going to tell me, and it was a good move years ago when a manager would think of it, they'd put a relief pitcher when they start flip-flopping pinch hitters, put them in the outfield.
I think Joe Maddon did it once with the Cubs.
Yeah, and then bring them back in. Oh, you can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? I'm okay with that. You have to face 3 hitters at a time. I'm okay with that because it's a way to speed up the game because managers get a little crazy with the switches. And
you know, it's like the old Tony La Russa used to go batter by batter every inning. It was a lot.
Tony La Russa was so overrated.
He's back, by the way. He's with the White Sox.
I know.
He's 77 years old.
I know. He's so overrated.
Howard, he won a lot.
Well, he won a lot with guys that cheated. You knew they cheated.
Yes, some of them. I mean, sure, the A's and those guys with McGuire and stuff. But
he knew it with the Cardinals, too.
Yeah, but I mean, he even beat the Phillies in 11.
Oh, he had to put he didn't put the pitcher ninth. He put the pitcher eighth and another hitter.
He won a lot of games.
Because he had good teams. Stop. But I don't like that rule. I don't like that rule. Let the hitters adjust.
Well,
so then you're going to say you can't put extra guys on that side of the infield.
Well, that would be the next step. But here's the thing. I don't think that baseball thinks these hitters can adjust. Like if they
well,
thought
then
that.
Too bad.
But well, they're worried that fans don't like this game. All right. So that's the first one. So you're against the first one with the idea of you have to have your dirt on your feet in the dirt. Second one. Howard, I can't wait to hear your action on this. In AAA this season, teams are going to be trying out slightly larger versions of first base, second base, and third base.
What does that mean?
The bag. Like, literally, the bag is going to be bigger. So instead of 15 by 15-inch bags, AAA is playing with 18 by 18. And here's the idea, Howard. they want to increase base stealing, and they think if the bag is bigger, the base stealer has a better chance to slide in around a tag. They're making the bases literally bigger.
It makes it a half a foot shorter.
No, it's bigger.
Well, yeah, but I mean a half a foot shorter between the bases, because if it's 3 inches
right,
on one side
right.
and 3 inches on the other
yes.
side, it makes it a half a foot shorter.
Yep.
You know what? The only thing I don't like about that, you know, guys trip over the bag sometimes.
Yeah, they'll do it more now.
I know. And then when the ball hits the bag, it'll take a while for players to adjust. The ball will be coming down the line, and all of a sudden it hits the bag because it's sticking out further than it was before. And then you have to adjust to get into the bag. I'm okay.
I would like more stolen bases, though.
I would like more stolen bases.
That part of baseball is out, and that's the blame on
analytics.
Then you got to call
more balks when they are balks.
Well, speaking of balks, Howard, that's the third rule I'm going to throw at you. So here's the third one. So the new rule is going to be you are only allowed to throw two pickoff attempts, Howard. The third time you throw over, the runner needs to be out. If not, it's a balk. So you have two free pickoff throws, and if you throw the ball over to first base or whatever base it is a third time, the runner better be out. Otherwise, he gets to go to the next base for free. So basically, the runner knows after two, he can go because you're not going to throw over. You're not going to give the base on purpose.
You know what? It would be a gamble, but that'd be okay because a lot of times the runner's going to make it anyway.
That would be fun.
That would create some interest.
Could you imagine the ninth inning? You have a really great base stealer or fast runner on the bases, and the pitcher is thrown over twice already. Action is about to come.
I like the way the left-handed pitcher just kind of lobs it over. Like, all right, I'm here, and he's never going to really give us, but he uses up a move by doing that. Yeah, that's the only one that I really like. The bases, it would look kind of weird. But the balk thing would accomplish what you're trying to do with the bases. So I don't think if you have one, you don't need the other. You don't need larger bases if you're not allowing the pitcher to throw over there that much because you want the hitter. You want the base runner to steal bases.
Yeah.
Well, if he's only allowed to throw over there a certain amount of times.
It would do it on itself.
It would do it on itself.
All right, last one.
That's overkill.
Howard,
that's
last one for you. The last new rule. So last year in the Atlantic League and the Florida Fall League, or 2 years ago, they had the robot umpires. Now robot umpires are coming to all these leagues. What used to be known as low A, every single stadium is going to have this. So robot umpires, Howard, instead of the home plate umpire calling balls and strikes, they're increasing the idea of robots calling an automated strike zone. Are you in favor of the robot umpires?
Absolutely not, and I'll tell you why. When I had Phil Cuzzi, the major league umpire on, you will have no more arguments with balls and strikes. You won't have an Aaron Boone moment.
I miss those. Have you ever seen the video, Howard, of Terry Collins with the Mets and with the Dodgers? Remember when Chase Utley was with the Dodgers and he slid into the leg of Tejada with the Mets and broke his leg?
Yep.
The next year they played each other. It was the first time the Mets had played Utley since then. Mm-hmm. And in the first inning of the game, Syndergaard threw behind Utley's head. He missed him, but he tried to hit him and he missed him. And I think they threw Syndergaard out of the game. And Terry Collins ran out. And it was like there's a video of it with like they're mic'd up. It is like the – you can't even play it on the air. It's so vulgar. It was so much fun to watch, though, because it was crazy.
Well, how would you do that with a robot umpire? Is there another umpire that would have to make that call, right?
Right, yeah.
But balls and strikes, and that's – first of all, you don't get any more arguments at the bases anymore because there's instant replay.
I miss the argument.
Yeah, well, I do too. So when there's a safe or out, you can always just challenge it. So there's no more arguments on the base pass anymore. The arguments come with balls and strikes.
Like your boy Aaron Boone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you would miss that. That was a great moment. That was a great moment. You know, hear guys, you know, chirping from the dugout and you're out of here. And it's just that you got to create some excitement. And if you have robot umpires, you take away the last way that you can argue with an umpire is balls and strikes. Because on the bases, they're just replay.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say, Howard, and we'll see if stolen bases ever actually increase again, but if you're taking away the real umpire behind home plate and guys don't steal much, you know what's going to suddenly become not important? Defensive catchers. What are you doing? You're not framing the pitch. You're not really throwing many base runners out anymore because they don't run that much. Like, what's the point of having a catcher that could play defense if it's a robot umpire? Like, you know, Real Muto is good at framing pitches. It wouldn't matter anymore. You can't frame a robot. They're not going to fall for that.
Framing pitches is kind of a joke anyway. When a guy catches it outside and he brings it inside,
but
and the umpire bites on that.
Yeah, sometimes they get the strike.
Yeah, I know. And then the other umpire complains. But I don't want to lose the ball and strike arguments because that's the only thing left with players and managers arguing with an umpire. It's like, Bryce Harper's not going to like a call. What, you going to yell at the robot?
Yes, scream, he'll kick it, he'll break the robot.
Yeah, you know what? I want to see a guy, that would be the greatest thing. A guy would take his bat to the robot. And just break it in half. Yeah, that would be.
They have to call a real umpire up, see if he can come to the game by then.
Yeah, he would until they rolled another umpire, another robot out there. That would be great. He takes his bat to the robot.
Boy, they're trying to change these sports all the time on us. All right, Howard, fun show. I'll hear you on Saturday morning.
Saturday, yeah. By the way, Chris Long's going to be on, and we're going to talk about. We mentioned it the other night. Wentz, Lurie, Jalen Hurts. And Barkley's part of the conversation. There was some stuff about Barkley we're going to talk about.
All right, I'm excited to hear it. So Chris Long will be on Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
Yep. All right, Howard, have a good night. Enjoy the walk. We'll talk next week.
All right. Hey, stay safe, everybody.
There he goes, Howard.
Wear your masks, too, would you please?
Listen to Howard. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's say hop in. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.